all of you here. I hope that you've had a good day in the Lord. We have enjoyed ourselves here in the house of God, and glad to have Zach and his family here with us today and learn about what's going on over there in the place where they're serving. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 119 tonight. Don't forget, ladies, to see my wife after church so you can get things settled in for the retreat this coming Friday. If I could, I'd like to give you a little information before we get started. The Lord has benefited us once again. And deacons went out and found us a second van that matches the first one. And if it would be pleasing to the church, we have another church that is not in our denominational setting, but they are interested in the older buses. And they wanted to buy them. And I asked the deacons what they thought, and we'd like to ask the church if we could have your approval just to give them to them on Monday. The church down the road from us. Brother Mike, do you have a question?
No, okay.
Brother Mike says okay. Do I have a second that says okay? Brother Burgos? Does everybody say okay? Does anybody say not okay? That's pretty good. Okay. Good to have Tony and Noah with us tonight. They stopped in to visit with us tonight. That's a blessing to have them here. And so we'll get those, send those folks a message and see if they cannot continue to be used. They'll have to take the money they were going to give us to put in them to get them usable. But we were there one time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so thank you, church, for being willing. Even though they were not of our stripe, they're not against us. If Christ be preached in contention, Paul was okay with it. So thank you very much for that. The lights in the gym are up, minus one. They got every last one of them up, called me over there, said, Pastor, come see. And they turned them on, and one was broke. So they had to take it back down. All the rest are working. They had to take it back down, get a new one. The sad thing for them is their rental on their lift is up, so I have to come back with scaffolding and put it up. So it does look bright over there. It does look good. So church, it is, the Lord has done some wonderful things around here. So praise the Lord for that. I did tell Daniel and them that if they wanted to after church tonight, it's available. But you have to stay out of the bathrooms. We're doing some work over there in that kitchen area. But you can go shoot basketball over there at night if you want. It'd be quite all right. We've got everything kind of moved out of the way. All right. Psalms chapter 119, verse 103 this evening. Psalms 119, verse 103. I tell you, if you ever begin to have difficulty understanding the authority of the Word of God, the absolute authority of the Word of God. Psalms 119 is a very good chapter. I was almost went to the point of us just reading the whole chapter and then dismissing it. Because that is a message in itself. It's a long chapter, but we'll save that for another night. Maybe a day when we're having nursing home ministry, we're really wore out, we'll just stand up and read for 40 minutes and go home. And be the same as preaching, right? All right. Now this here, the Word of God is for all seasons and for all reasons. The Word, I mean, there's nothing. Someone asked me one time, you know, does everything y'all do have to be about Christ? Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. So, yes, that's God's plan. But God doesn't navigate us away from having fun. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, he's not against having fun. I think God has probably the greatest sense of humor in all of imagine. Because look at the people he calls to preach. I mean, he says it. I choose the base and the foolish to confound you wise folks. So he's got a good sense of humor. I mean, who would ever thought about building an ark, saving two animals, and seven clean, one family? We wouldn't have come up with that plan. I mean, we wouldn't have come up with it at all. And to tell him, yes, bring those termites and those woodpeckers. Can you imagine while that thing was floating around? All the animals they checked on, I guarantee you, he had a night watchman by the woodpecker and the termites. So God does have a sense of humor. So I believe that the Word of God is a book for all reasons and for all seasons. Let's read verse 97, this little section here of 97. We'll read all the way down to verse 112. O Lord, 97, Psalms 119. Where was I reading? I don't know. Here we go. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. All right, kids. Be very careful with using this one. Don't go to school tomorrow and say, I was at church and the pastor read that I have more understanding than you all. Now you may get you might be smarter than your teachers, but you cannot use this, because I don't want your parents getting a phone call and then the parents calling me and say, Pastor, you should explain that one a little bit more. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now we're going to focus just on three verses, and that is verse 103, 104, and 105. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, as we look into this passage just for a little bit, we have to remember over in the book of James, James calls the Word of God a what? What does he say the Word of God is? Does anybody recall it? It's like something. Like a what? A mirror. Like a mirror. Is that you up there, Brother Josh? All right. Brother Josh is on the ball. Like a mirror. The Word of God is like a mirror. So when we look in a mirror, we look and we see a reflection of us. Generally speaking, we that are mature, we're looking to see if ever hair is in place and we comb it over and get it right. Or we're looking to see if our ear has more hair on it than our head. We're doing something that's helpful. Now, when we're younger, we're looking to see how buff we are. We're using the mirror. We're looking at ourselves to see. I never had that problem. I was always round like this. So it was just part of life, you know. So the mirror was just a thing to brush my teeth, shave. Now I'm shaving more than I ever shaved, you know, than before. So the mirror is to help us. And we use it to correct us, to fix us, to make things right. To some of you ladies, you think your car is, it's time to dispose of a brand new car if you don't fold it down and there's a mirror there. This is 2019, there's no mirror. We got to turn this thing in. That's all you're worried about. So you can put your makeup on, get going. Or you reach over and turn the other one where I'm trying to drive, and it's all crooked, like you can't look nowhere. Your mirrors are for different. The mirror is so you can see, and the Word of God is a mirror so that we can look at ourselves and we can see and we can check things out. And we need to check it out according to the Word. According to the Word. There was one verse here that we did read that I want to point out. It says there in verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord. And guess what he said? According to thy word. And so when we look into the mirror of God's word, we want to be quickened according to the word. Because I can tell you, not everything that all men do and are doing is correct. Not everything that a little bit of men and women do is correct. So we have to look into the Word of God and say, according to the Word of God, this or that is not right. This is our plumb bob. This is what we are measured by, the written Word and the living Word. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word, which is absolute. It's forever settled. It doesn't change. It's absolute. And so we find out, through reading the Word of God, where we stand and what we're doing and how we act. In verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You understand why America is having a difficulty in hating false ways, don't you? We've long removed the Word of God and the importance out of a public view. There's no perfect compass. Every man is back to the book of Jude. Judges doing that which is right in his own eyes. And so we, as God's people, we need to look at the Word of God. We look at ourselves. We figure out what's going on. He said here in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, the psalmist, as he wrote this, is showing us that the Word of God is a great tool for teaching us right is wrong, from right and wrong. The problem we're having today is that we don't know how to discern what is right and wrong because we are biblically ignorant of God. There's a great famine of the Word of God. There's a great famine. Many times, which is sad and should not be so, there's a great famine of the Word of God in God's own house. And it's not something new. Jesus had to deal with this in the temple twice. He flipped over the tables and the money changers and run them out because what was supposed to be happening, the house of God was a house of prayer, became into a place of trade, a place of economy and money making. And so it's a shame that even in Jesus' day, and we have it in our day and age, that it becomes that way. We have to do and keep the Word of God in its prominent place. And that is presented to us like we are, and we live by it, not just hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. We got to get beyond just hearing. It's got to become real to us. And so, what do I do? If it's for all reasons, for all seasons, for instance, the Bible, when we are afraid to speak, when we're afraid to talk, when we're afraid to put out the Word of God before us, and we're, you know, family reunions, friendships, co-workers, you're sitting down and you're prompted, you have a desire, you want to, and you're just afraid. You know what will get you beyond that fear? Is the Word of God. Listen, when Moses was out wandering around caring for Jethro's flock over in Exodus chapter 4, and he's wandering around in the mountainside feeding the flock, the sheep, and then all of a sudden there was the burning bush, and he began to be drawn to the burning bush, and there was a conversation between God and Moses, and Moses says, "I am afraid. I can't talk. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." Look over in Exodus chapter 4. I mean, that was Exodus chapter 3, but God gave him the answer in Exodus chapter number 4. And so when we are afraid, now he was told in Exodus chapter 3, go into Egypt, you're going to gather the elders together, and you're going to speak to them and tell them that I am using you to lead my people from their captivity and from their bondage. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, we are given sort of the same kind of commandment. People are in bondage in their sins, and they're dying and going to spend eternity in hell. And we're told by the Holy Spirit of God has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And so a lot of times we're afraid. We're afraid to share Christ. We're fearful of that. Moses was a great leader of God's people, but he was afraid to speak. So in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10, God says in this conversation, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He's talking about in chapter 3. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we've been commanded. Moses was told, go into Egypt, gather the people, tell them that I'm going to lead them out of bondage. We've been given sort of the same kind of commandment, because there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, Pastor, what am I to do? Well, go over to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Word of God says there in Jeremiah 1:9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Well, is the God of the Old Testament our God? Well, this is what he did for Moses. This is what he did for Jeremiah. Well, Pastor, I just don't know that he would do it, but why did he use Moses in the great chapter of faith in Hebrews? Because he wants us to know he can work through us just like he worked through Moses. Yeah. Well, I know you get fearful. I get fearful. I get, you know, tongue-tied. And I get knotted up whenever it's time to speak. But dear friend, the Bible is a book for all reasons and for all seasons. And it will help us get through these times when we're afraid to speak. Not only will it get through... help us when we're afraid to speak, dear friend, but the Word of God will help us when we're feeling weak. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 40. Listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. Life's burdens often drain away every ounce of strength that you have. I mean, it's just that away. Life is not easy by no shape, way, shape, form, or fashion. Dear friend, is it easy? Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he is weary. There is no searching of his understanding.
He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not be faint. Mr. Friend, when you're weak, you've got to get to the source of your strength. The Bible says, I can do all things in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Life will wear you out. Relationships have their ups and their downs. And raising children has their good days and their bad days. And working at your job has great days and you know, not so great days. Sometimes, you know, it's just like you're spinning your wheels and you feel like you can't go one more step forward. It seems like you're stuck in this rut. You can't get ahead. Every time you get ahead, here comes another bill. It wears on you, dear friend. And the Bible says here that we're weak, we're faint, and we it's hard to go on. That's why the Bible says when you've done all to stand, just stand therefore. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But what do we so often do? We get in this world, we get in this here rat trap of racing around, worrying about this, worrying about that, and borrowing trouble from tomorrow, next week, and next year. Some of you are worried about things that's going to happen maybe 18 months down the road yet. And you wonder why you're so defeated. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Dear friend, when you're afraid to speak like Moses, go to the Word. When you're weak and you're worn out and you're tired and you're thirsty, go to the Word. You think Jesus wasn't tired going up Golgotha's hill? Oh, dear friend, He was wore out. He fell under the load of the cross that was ours to bear. He understands weariness. He understands tiredness. So when you're afraid to speak, go to the Word. When you're afraid and you're feeling weak, go to the Word. The Bible, the Word of God, is for all seasons and for all reasons. I don't know why in the world we think it's only for funerals and for marriages. No, it's for everything, every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. Third thing. Dear friend, when you are filled with fear and anxiety, and it seems like the clouds of this darkness is over around us and encompassing us. Go with me to Psalms chapter number 3. Psalms chapter number 3. Psalms chapter 3 and verse number 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? I bet somebody said amen right there. I mean, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which saved of my soul. There is no help for him in God. We got Christians that say that to me. Well, you just stuck out there by yourself. I saw something some years ago, and I saw it again this past week. Just make sure everybody that's in your boat's paddling the same way instead of drilling holes. You got folks around you telling you that God's not going to help you, dear friend. It's time to chunk them overboard. Well, you who needs enemies? You got friends like that? This is where the psalmist says. The psalmist says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in the Lord, Selah. But Thou, O Lord, art shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Dear friend, when you're feeling full of fear and anxiety and trouble, run to the Word of God. There is help in the Word of God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 41 and verse number 10. Isaiah chapter number 41 and verse number 10. So you feel afraid to speak on behalf of the Lord? Ask God for boldness. Get into the Word of God and search the Word of God and then find strength in the Word of God that He might help you to speak and be that witness you should be. When you're tired, you're weak, and you feel like you can't go on. It ain't time to skip church, dear friend. It's time to get in the Word. Get in the Word and get help and get strength. And you say, well, I would, Pastor, but you're not offering much help from the Word. Well, then that's why you've got a Bible of your own. Get in it yourself. Find strength for yourself. Whenever David's when David's men of valor was all fixing to choke him down and kill him and make him tap out there, whenever he showed back up at Ziklag and fire was going up, he couldn't find no help amongst friends. You know, he said, I encourage myself in the Lord. You find help in the Word of the Lord and get down on your knees and say, God, help that pastor you've given us. He's the one you put there. Lord, he needs some help. I don't mind you praying for me. Listen, not at all. When you're weak, you got to go to the Word. When you're full of fear, you got to get into the Word of God. Isaiah chapter number 41, verse 10. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I challenge you this, dear friend. When you're full of fear, I challenge you to get you a biblical concordance and go look up the term fear not and study it out. God's serious about this thing of fear. He doesn't want you, He wants you to be of a sound mind. He doesn't want you to be tromping around in darkness of fear. You know what the Bible says in Romans 10, 17? What does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You got to get in the Word of God, dear friend. So you're afraid to speak and talk about Jesus? Get in the Word. It'll find strength. You're fear, you're feeling weak and tired? Get in the Word. You'll find strength. You're full of fear and don't know what's going to happen next, and you're trembling like this young friend of Ashley's, Dylan. Hey, he needs the Word of God shared with him. God will take his right hand. Suicide's not the answer. Not the answer. You get the feeling like your life is not worth anything, dear friend. You need to let somebody know, and we need to be willing and ready to spend time with you and sharing the Word of God with you so that you understand something. God loves you. You might look on the left and look on the right and you see, says, no man cares for your soul. Different. God cares for your soul. God cares. And finally, dear friend, when the tempter, the accuser of the brother, begins to sneak around, you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. What's the example on that? Matthew 4. When Jesus was fasting, weak, tired, alone, the devil came. This dear friend, when you're afraid to speak, the devil shuts your mouth. Hey, when you're feeling weak, the devil rides your back. Hey, dear friend, when you're afraid, he jumps out. What are you all scared for? I'm not the devil. Quit jumping. By the time y'all woke up, I've been preaching now for 4 minutes and y'all still asleep. The devil, he jumps out, put more fear in you. More and more and more fear. When the tempter's near, dear friend, you need to run to the Word of God. You know how Jesus defeated him? Quoted Scripture. Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Here's a few statements, and then we're going to close real quick. When the tempter is around and he's near, I'm telling you, dear friend, he knows when you're weak. He knows when you're down. He will wear you out. There is, listen, temptation, according to this scripture, according to this passage we just read, temptations are limited to those which are common. You know what the devil will tell you? You're the only one going through this. You're the only one that's ever had this problem. And if he gets you to thinking that way, dear friend, that means nobody has had victory over that. So he gets you thinking that way. But temptations, according to this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're being tempted with, whatever is drawing your heart away from God, dear friend, you're not the only one. It's not new to you. Because if he convinces you that it's new to you, you find no way of escape. And so what do? You can't win this battle. You give in. You can't do it again. If it's on me, I don't have. There ain't even no word in there because nobody else has had any problem like this. There is no. If the tempter comes around, dear friend, whatever it is, does not matter. This here is just as true as John 3:16. There's no temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Secondly, dear friend, temptations are limited to what we can overcome. Well, let's read it again. There hath no temptation taken you, but just common to man. That clarifies the first one. The first statement I made. But God is faithful. Praise God, He is. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. So God is faithful. So He's not going to tempt you above that which you're able. Well, what's the problem? The devil has not convinced us that we're the only ones that ever went through this. The devil has not convinced us that we do not need the Word of God in our life. Thy Word I was sent in my heart. Hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Temptation, dear friend, it is inevitable that the tempter's coming around. I can honestly tell you this, dear friend. I can honestly tell you this. In my lifetime, and I'm pretty young right now, in my lifetime, when I've watched people get on fire for God and get faithful, solid faith, they get all in. They get both feet in. Listen, they get in there. That's when the tempter comes swimming around. Because he ain't happy. Because if he got you stuck in the boat, drilling holes in somebody else's boat, why has he got a fool with you? Well, listen, and then he convinces them. You find somebody that's living a life of Christianity without the Word of God in their life. They're weak. They're weak. You're setting yourself up for failure, dear friend. The Word of God. Listen, Jesus overcame the devil. Here's some rocks. Show your power. I mean, after all, can you imagine this conversation? The devil there talking with him? Turn it into bread. Tell you what, 40 days you hadn't eaten. You might would have done it. Might have been pretty easy to make a Panera sandwich, wouldn't it? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every time. The answer is the Word. I know, Pastor, that's just the old Baptist cliche. Get in the Bible, have your systematic Bible reading, read your Bible through year by year, you know, and check it off. That's your problem right there. You're checking off. This ain't a check off, this is a relationship. How in the world can God talk to you if you're not spending time in the Word of God? Oh, I hear His voice all the time. Where? That's your stomach growling because you had too many chalupas. You just got gas. Ain't God talking to you, dear friend? God talks to you through the Word. There. Well, I'm getting some deeper. Yeah, deeper. Your well is so deep that the only one that can draw something up out of there is nobody. Because we got to be full of the Word of God to draw something out that's going to be helpful. Well, where did you get that verse? Show me that doctrine. For with the heart, it is wicked above all. Who could know it? So tell me what you can draw out of your own wisdom. Any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask God. What was that thing I posted the other day? It was so good, I forgot it. It's talking about a teacher. Oh, if you're your only mentor, your mentor is a fool. Oh, if you're the only one that you're the only one you can learn from, your teacher's a fool. So if nobody else can teach you, I think that's how it was. If not, that's a good one. Write that down and post it somewhere. Give me credit. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed and eyes down. I don't come up with a lot of good sayers. I usually rob other people. That one's probably been used too. Are you fearful? Tempters around. The Word of God.
Amen. It's been good to be in God's house today, choir. Did not forget to come up quickly. Get ready for choir practice. And then ladies, don't forget to meet with my wife. And since we are a church family, and if I don't tell y'all, y'all might be a little troubled when y'all see it. About 9 o'clock our time tonight, I will have another daughter-in-law. My son is getting married at 6 o'clock in the military chapel over on Fort Lewis. So pray for him and his new endeavor. Her name is Kimberly. Got a good name, didn't he? I did. And she'll be Kimberly Stockton. Here in just a little bit. And I cannot pronounce her last name. Lombacher, something like that. Limbacher. But he's hers and mine is mine. And so we're going to have a new daughter-in-law, so I'm going to tell